1 Samuel chapter 9. Now, there was a wealthy and powerful man called Kish from the tribe of Benjamin, the son of Abiel, who was the son of Zeror. He was from the family of Becherath, part of the clan of Aphiah, and he had a son called Saul, a handsome man. Saul was one head taller than anyone else in Israel, and very handsome. Some donkeys that belonged to Kish had got lost, and so he said to Saul, "Take one of the servants with you and go and look for the donkeys." So, you see then that Saul actually was from a wealthy family. They were told they were wealthy and that he had a servant, at least one. And so, when Saul later says, "Oh no, I'm a nobody, I'm from a very small family," he was either being humble or he was actually making an excuse as to why he didn't want to be the king of Israel. And you find that in the Bible, that there are a lot of questions that are left hanging. Was Saul being humble when he said, "Oh, who am I? I'm nobody. I'm from a very small family. I'm from a very weak family." Was he being humble? Or was he actually saying, "Nah, I'm just making an excuse. I don't want to be the king of Israel. I don't want to say yes to what God is asking me to do." And there's such a thing as appearing to be humble when actually we are turning down where God is trying to lead us. So Saul and his servant, they go throughout the hill country of Ephraim and Shalisha, but they didn't find the donkeys. So they went through Shalim, but they still didn't find the donkeys. They went all over the territory of Benjamin, but they didn't find them. When they came to the area of Zaph, Saul said to his servant, "I think we ought to go home, or my father is probably going to stop worrying about the donkeys and start worrying about us." The servant replied, "Well, in this town there is a man of God who is very respected, and all that he says comes true. Let's go and see him. Maybe he can tell us where we can find the donkeys." "Well," Saul said, "if we go to see a man of God, what can we give him? We haven't got any food left, and we haven't got anything to give him." The servant replied, "Well, I've got a small coin. I can give him that, and then he'll tell us where we can find them." So Saul said that that was a good idea. So they went to the town where the man of God lived. As they were going up the hill to the town, they met some girls who were coming out to draw water. They asked the girls, "Is the seer in town?" At that time, a prophet used to be called a seer, somebody who sees things. "Yes, he is," the girls replied. "In fact, he's just up there ahead of you. Hurry up, you'll catch up with him. And as soon as you go into the town, you'll find him. He came into the town today because there's a sacrifice on the altar at the hill. The people who are invited won't start eating until the man of God gets there, because he has to first bless the sacrifice. But if you go right now, you'll find him before he goes up the hill to eat the sacrifice." So Saul and his servants went into the town, and as they were going in, they saw Samuel coming towards them on his way to the altar. The day before, Yahweh had said to Samuel, "Tomorrow about this time I'll send you a man from the tribe of Benjamin. You are to anoint him to be ruler of my people Israel, and he will save them from the Philistines. I have seen the suffering of my people, and I have heard their cries for deliverance." When Samuel saw Saul, Yahweh said to him, "This is the man I told you about. He is going to be the ruler of my people." But Saul then went over to Samuel and asked him, "Can you tell me, please, where does the seer live?" Samuel replied, "I am the seer, or the prophet. Go on ahead of me to the place of worship. You both are going to eat with me today, and tomorrow morning I will answer all the questions that you have, and I will send you on your way. And concerning those donkeys that got lost 3 days ago, you are not to worry about them. They have been found. But upon whom is the desire of the people of Israel? Is it not upon you, you and your father's family?" Saul replied, "I belong to the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest of the tribes in Israel. My family is the weakest and least important in the tribe, so why are you saying this to me?" Well, as I said, the chapter begins with the information that actually Saul's family were wealthy and powerful. And so the question is, was Saul being just humble, or was he in fact making an excuse that I don't want to do anything for God? And that is an open question. But you notice that we read earlier that Samuel used to go round Israel teaching and judging them and giving them advice, etc. And yet Saul clearly was not a spiritual person. He had not gone to any of those meetings. He didn't even recognize Samuel. When he meets Samuel, he said, oh, excuse me, can you tell me where the prophet is? And Samuel's like, that's me. Oh. And he has the idea, Saul has the idea, that if you go to see a spiritual person, well, you've got to give him some money. Well, I'm sure Samuel wasn't like that. He was teaching the word of God freely. And if anyone donated to him, that would have been from their free will. But Saul was obviously used to going to people who were not maybe prophets of God. And that was his idea of religion, that you had to pay for it. And also, it was a feast day. When they come and talk to the girls say, well, look, today's like a feast. It's a day of sacrifice. Oh, well, Saul didn't know that. And so you get the impression that Saul is a totally secular, unbelieving, or not very strongly believing person who had not made any particular move towards God. But then God comes into his life, and we are told later on that God's Spirit gave him another heart. He could have been a good man. He could have been transformed. And initially, to start with, he was. So I think you see there how God can just barge into the life, as it were, of totally unbelieving people and change them. But they have got to keep on saying yes to God. And Saul didn't do that. So Samuel led Saul and his servant into a large room and gave them a place at the head of the table, where about 30 guests were seated. Samuel had said to the cook, bring out the piece of meat that I gave you, which I told you to set aside. The cook brought out the very best piece of the leg and placed it before Saul. Samuel said, look, here is the piece of meat that was kept specially for you. Eat it. I saved it for you to eat at this very time, along with the guests I've invited. So Saul ate with Samuel that day, and when they went down from the place of worship to the town, they prepared a bed for Saul on the rooftop, and he slept there. And at dawn, Samuel called to Saul on the rooftop, get up and I will send you on your way. Saul got up, and he and Samuel went out to the street together. When they came to the edge of the town, Samuel said to Saul, please tell your servant to just go on ahead of us. The servant left them, and Samuel continued, stay here for a while, and I will tell you the word of God to you. And then he's going to go on and anoint him to be the king of Israel. Well, what are we to make of all this? Saul must have been totally confused. He must have kept thinking, whatever is going on? This man of God, this Samuel, knows all about the lost donkeys. And yet he says that he's kept a piece of meat, the best piece of meat, specially for me. He accepts me. And who am I? I'm not a believing person, or not a very strongly believing person. And what's happening? And this is it. When God comes into your life, you really do have to say yes. He knows you right from the beginning, from even before the world was made. He knew each of us, and he had this special intention, a special unique intention for each of us. We need to pray to God that we'll find out what that is. And the main thing is that you keep saying yes to God and not in the end be like Saul was.